Be back with you, and I travel all around the world, and I travel all across the country preaching and presenting Advance. And one of the places that I enjoy coming as much as any is right here in Long Run, and I mean that sincerely. And I always enjoy coming back and seeing new faces, and I enjoy seeing or old faces, and then I enjoy seeing new faces every year. And then I always enjoy seeing these young people and these children that, you know, I come back after a year and for some reason they decided to grow. And I'm not sure what the problem is. You're feeding them too much or something. But it is just a pleasure and an honor, and I enjoy coming. And I count it a real honor for your pastor to invite me every year, and I appreciate it very much. Not everybody invites me every year. And so when I can get one or two that will, either they feel sorry for me or they really like me, one of the two. Don't tell me which one it is. Just make me, you know, so let me believe what I want to believe, all right? But it's just good to be back. And my nephew Kent is here with me. And last night his sister graduated from high school, and so her party was last night. So I got to come in for that, and my two sisters came in from that, from Dallas and Phoenix. And then, so we got to see them, and I asked him to come and be with me today, and so he graciously did so. So gave me a little someone to talk to on the way here, or someone I can listen to on the way here. But he is a wonderful young man. His parents are missionaries to Italy, and his grandparents are missionaries to the refugees in Syria. They work in Lebanon. They work in the Arab countries. They preach the gospel, and they're way up in their 70s, getting close to 80, and still going strong after nearly 50 years in the Lord's work. And so I just got to see them last night. I enjoy being around missionaries and those that are serving the Lord and doing God's work all around the world and hazarding their lives for the gospel, as Paul talked about. And so he has a rich history. And then my mother is his grandfather's brother, George and Linda Hillenberg. They live in Stratford. And so we got to see them, and they are wonderful, wonderful Christian people, and it's just a great legacy of Christian family members that are serving the Lord, and that's really what revival is all about. Revival is more than just a five-day meeting. A lot of screaming, a lot of yelling, a lot of snorting. A few people saved, maybe. Never see them again. Hardly. And we call that revival. But true revival is when our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren serve the Lord. That's true revival. And so I commend you for what you're doing here in Long Run. I commend you for how you're trying to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I commend you for wanting to protect them and teach them the Word of God. And I just want to say to all the kids that are here today, you need to be thankful and appreciative of your parents and what they're trying to accomplish in your lives, because you serving the Lord is true revival. I do have a table. I think this is the first time I've put up a table, I believe. And so it'll give you a little idea of what we've been doing over the last 5 years and all the church planning that is taking place. And also, there's some literature next to it. My dad's book, The Trail of Blood Revisited, his autobiography that he finished right before he died, and my mother and I, we published it, and he told us before he passed away, he said, "Now, you promised me something." "What's that?" He said, "Don't change anything in this book. It's the way I want it." And so the only thing I did was I put a disclaimer in so I wouldn't get sued. I did put a disclaimer in. But so anyway, his book is there, and it's his life story and his ministry. So it's $10 for the autobiography, The Boy with No Name. The little red book is $5. We just want enough so we can reprint them one of these days. Anything else there that you want to take, just put down a buck or two or whatever so that we can get it reprinted and whatever we need to do to get it get more taken care of. And then tomorrow we're having an Unregistered Baptist Fellowship meeting. We invite you to come out and be here for that. I think we have some pastors coming in, and I'll have some more literature for you tomorrow that we'll put out on the table. Three articles by my father. We're going to be talking about how to organize a New Testament church, how to pastor a New Testament church, and the five ways that you can organize a New Testament church. Four are legal. One is lawful and has constitutional First Amendment guarantees. And we'll be discussing those things, and then we'll be just sharing the mission of the church and talking a little bit about Advance, my ministry, and just sharing with the pastors that are here, answering any questions that they might have. It's going to be very low-key, but we're just going to give out the information, and those that are interested can go forward with it. So, again, thank you so much for this opportunity. And today, I sort of feel like Paul the Apostle, in a way, because he always went back to the churches that supported him and the churches that prayed for him and the churches that he helped begin and gave them a report. He took three missionary journeys, and he would come back and give a report on his missionary journeys and the churches that were founded and the souls that were saved and the growth of the churches. And it was such a wonderful thing, and the church at Antioch that really helped send Paul the Apostle out, and not only Barnabas, but also who was it? Silas? Is it Silas? Who went with him the second time? Silas. And they would come back and they would give a report once again, and the whole church would show up and be excited about what was taking place. So I'm glad that you showed up once again, because many of you have supported us, and I'm very grateful. And so I just want to give you a little report as I bring to you the Word of God, what is taking place all around the world because of your prayers, because of your support, because we go, because you send, and what God thinks of that when we do those things. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the opportunity to be here in this congregation once again. I thank you for Pastor Faust. I thank you for the families here, and I just thank you for their love and concern for the gospel. And Lord, we just pray that you would bless them and help them and encourage them. Lord, fill me with your Spirit today. Give me the words to say. I pray that what I say will be directly from the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will take it and convince us and convict us to do more for Christ than ever before. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and all the people said,
Amen.
Amen. Please open your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans, chapter 10. And I want to bring a message today simply entitled, Beautiful Feet. Beautiful Feet. According to the book of Romans, there are two types of righteousness in Romans chapter 10, verses 4 through 13. It says this, For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And read verse 13 with me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Read it again. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Once again, according to Romans, there are at least two types of righteousness found here in chapter 10. There is the righteousness of law, and there is the righteousness of faith. However, because law could not save, law could not make us righteous, Christ became the end of law to all that would believe by faith in Him. You see, what the law of righteousness could not do, the law of faith could and would. This is why Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. This is why when the first Adam sinned, God gave to us the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our righteousness. And this is why Moses, while enforcing on Israel strict adherence to law, gave to us a glimpse of grace along with all the other prophets. And as a result, the righteousness of God by Christ ends law and gives life to the spirit of the one who believes on Christ. Today, before going on, may I give to you the clarity of the gospel. This message today may be a little more simplistic than maybe what I've brought in the past or even what I enjoy preaching, but I believe understanding the clarity of the gospel is very important. Now, probably the last thing that you need today is another message on salvation, justification salvation, spirit salvation. Probably the last thing that most churches need today is another message on Sunday morning on salvation. We have told saved people how to be saved for so long that we have missed all the other important things of the Word of God that will lead us on and let us go on to perfection. Yeah. And so we've not discussed the deeper things of the Word of God. We've not discussed the practical side of righteousness. We've not practiced what it really means and preached what it really means and have taught what it really means to leave the basic principles, the ABCs of salvation and the ABCs of the faith, and go deeper into the Word of God. When we go deeper into the Word of God, then, Pastor Faust, is when we have problems in most churches. At least it has been with me. If I stick with just another salvation message, everybody is happy, everybody says glory to God, everybody leaves, and they're no different than when they came in. I always say that most Christians today have never learned anything new in 40 years. I know that's not true here. I told your pastor on the way here, I said, the reason that I don't really get into a lot of the kingdom stuff when I come, because I know that you get it from him all the time, so I just try to give you maybe a little something different. Not that he never gives you anything different. But you know, every time I open up the Word of God, I find the kingdom. I find the kingdom teaching. I find sanctification. And when you get into the deeper parts of the Word of God, and you leave just the ABCs, many Christians get very disturbed. They get really upset. I've had many people come to me after the sermon and say, "What in the world did you just say?" I said, "Well, just listen again and maybe you'll get it eventually." Amen. So the last thing you need today is probably a salvation message. And I'm not going to give you a salvation message, but I am going to share with you the clarity of the gospel, because the clarity of the gospel in even most of our Baptist churches is really, really messed up. The gospel, in fact, there are five aspects to the gospel. Not just the gospel of grace. There is the gospel of the kingdom. There is Paul's my gospel. There are five different aspects to the gospel. But let me share with you the clarity of the gospel as it relates to the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. The good news that He died and was buried and rose again. And because of that, we can be justified. Amen. Just as though we have never sinned. Aren't you glad of that?
Yes, sir.
Aren't you glad that God looks at us through the righteousness of Christ by faith and He says, "You have never, ever sinned." I'm not talking about sanctification. Yes. I'm talking about justification. Amen. Sanctification is a whole other story, as you know. But justification, I have been saved and forgiven just as though I have never sinned, and my spirit has been redeemed and renewed in Christ Jesus. And has been made alive in Christ Jesus. And so has yours. But so many churches today, they were legalists. We're Galatians. We're Galatian Christians. We need to understand the clarity. If we're going to preach the clarity of the gospel, we need to understand what the clarity of the gospel is. You know, I was thinking the other day, Pastor Faust, thank God that He uses us in spite of us. And He uses our messages in spite of how bad they are sometimes. And people, you know, God's Word is not void. And people can still get saved, even if you muddy up the gospel sometimes. They can still get saved because the Holy Spirit of God comes and convicts and uses the Word that was preached and convinces and saves, and we believe on Christ. And man, I'm so glad that God is bigger than me. He just chooses to use me. Even in my weaknesses, even when I get it wrong, I'm glad of that. But you know what? We don't have to get it wrong. We need to understand the clarity of the gospel. Back a few weeks ago, we celebrated Easter. I don't know what you all do, but everyone celebrates Easter. They celebrate the resurrection of Christ. That's what I like to call it. It's a resurrection celebration. I don't even like to call it Easter anymore. But it's a resurrection celebration. I don't even like to call Christmas Christmas anymore. It's just a celebration of the birth of Christ. Now, we know He wasn't born on December 25th. Most likely, He probably was born in September or October. But that's when, traditionally, we celebrate the birth of Christ. Okay, we can celebrate it every week. In fact, we celebrate every week the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, do we not? Every week. A few weeks ago, we celebrated the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. What is the point if we don't even know what the point is? What's the point if we don't even understand the clarity of the gospel and the simplicity of the gospel? What's the point? There are churches all over the world that celebrates the death, burial, and resurrection but doesn't have an understanding of what the gospel is. I was in the Philippines 5 years ago. Most of them, they don't have an understanding of the gospel. I've been in Africa 6 or 7 times over the last 5 years. A lot of them don't understand the gospel. I've been in Mexico. They don't understand the gospel until it's clearly presented to them. What is the clarity of the gospel? We all have sinned. Amen?
Amen?
Number two, the wages of sin is death. Number three, we are not perfect, so we cannot earn ourselves. Or number three, we must be perfect to go to heaven. Number four, we are not perfect, so we cannot earn our salvation or go to heaven. Number five, so Christ died for our sins. Number six, we, the sinner, must believe on Christ. And number seven, then you and I can have eternal life. That is the gospel, pure and simple, as it relates to justification. The doctrine of justification, when Christ, through faith, makes us as though we have never sinned. Today we're adding works. Today we're adding baptism. Today we're adding repentance. Today we're adding all kinds of things. May I say, when we believe on Christ, we must then, as a believer, begin repenting every moment of our lives. Because we must be continually born of God every day. But when it comes to justification and the simple message of the death, burial, and resurrection, it's by faith and faith alone in Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I remember when I got saved. I don't think I've told you this illustration. If I have, just listen to it again. But I've slept since I was here last year. I don't think I told you this, but I got saved when I was just a little boy. My dad led me to Christ. And all my life, I'm now 65, and all my life I always wondered, you know I was saved. I can take you to the house I was saved in. I can take you to the very bedroom where I knelt by the bed and called upon the name of the Lord and believed on Christ. I know the experience. I remember the experience. I was just a little boy, but if I could just know the date, I would be much happier. And I didn't know the date. I just always had to say, well, I was 6 or 7 or 8 or something like that. I just couldn't remember. And before my dad died a couple of years ago, the year before he died, he had this box. My mom had this box, and there was all kinds of little things in there. And there was a letter that my mom had written to her mother 59 years ago. It was not in an envelope. It was 10 pages, backside and front side. And it was in this little box. And I guess that when my grandmother had died 20 years ago, they had taken that box and all the little paraphernalia that's in it, you know, and family stuff. And this little letter, no one ever looked at it. No one ever read it until 2 years ago. And they found it. And it was a letter that my mother had written to her mother 59 years ago when little Greggy got saved. It was dated Saturday, March 17th, 1962. And so the mathematician that I am, I calculated back to Monday, and I got saved March 12th, Monday evening, 1962, at 6 years of age. After 59 years plus, God answered my prayer. Aren't you glad that God is a God answering prayer? A prayer answering God. I'll get it here. Aren't you glad He doesn't stutter also? I mean, He's pretty plain in the book, isn't He? He doesn't stutter. If Moses stuttered, I guess I can stutter once in a while. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if there is someone here today that has never called upon the name of the Lord, I want you to know you can today. You can believe on Christ and you can be saved. Now, according to Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17, we are given the steps to sharing the clarity. Now that we know the clarity of the gospel, we are given the steps to share the clarity of the gospel. Look what it says. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I know something about beautiful feet. I have a wife, 4 daughters, and a granddaughter. I know something about beautiful feet. Because when they all come home, I've got two in New York City, I've got one in Indianapolis, they're getting ready maybe to move to Ohio and take a church position there, and they're going to be taking my grandkids away. I got real problems, but I've got to let them do the will of God. I've got another daughter, youngest daughter's in Nashville, but when they all come home and when they were growing up, I know something about beautiful feet because they always wanted me to take them to get a pedicure. And I'd get them in the car and we'd drive down to Missy's Nails and I would get them a pedicure and I'd pay for all of them. Last year when they were home for COVID, my third daughter, Hannah, she said, Dad, we're going down to get pedicures. She said, will you pay for mine? Now, she's 27 years old. She's working. She's got plenty of money. She's got savings. I put her a budget together when she got her job a few years ago. And as we do all of our kids, and we want them to be financially, stable and secure and do the right thing and have some money put back and don't spend everything. And she said, can you pay for my pedicure? I said, Hannah, I said, you got money? You got savings? I said, I'm weaning you. Pay for your own now. Now, it wasn't that I didn't want to or couldn't, but at some point in time, they just need to pay for their own way. You know what I mean? And she said, well, why don't you pay for half of it and just wean me halfway? I probably ended up paying for it all if I think about it long enough. But I know something about beautiful feet. And you know what? We get them down there, and they get in those chairs, and they push the buttons, and man, those massages, they start rubbing your back and up and down, and anybody here has ever done anything like that? I know Pastor Faust probably once a month goes and gets a pedicure. I know that's no, never. Well, you need to. Anybody here? Any of you ladies, girls, have you ever done this? You're not going to admit it. We got one, maybe. Nobody will admit it. Well, you need to try it. Gentlemen, you need to pamper your wives. Amen? Amen. Men, you need to pamper your wives. Amen? Wives, your husbands need to pamper you. Amen? Thank you very much. Tough crowd. I know something about beautiful feet. Man, you get your feet in there in the water and it's hot and they put little soaps in there and man, they soak your feet for a few minutes. And then after that, they take your feet out one at a time and they clip your toenails and then they file the nails down and then they start applying lotion and then they massage your feet and massage your calves and then they paint the nails and then they go and they put their feet under those dryers, and they've got these, once they're pretty much dry. They've got these little thongs they put on their feet, and their toes are like this so they don't mess up and scrape up the new paint job there on the toes and there could be 3 feet of snow outside and ice and Brother Faust, they're trying to get to the car, not to get all their feet all messed up and they get out there and they get in the car and man they're just happy. And if they're happy, I'm happy. I know something about beautiful feet. Likewise, verses 14 through 17 gives to us some steps to beautiful feet, spiritually speaking. He gives us some steps to beautiful feet, spiritually speaking, as it relates to going and proclaiming the clarity of the gospel of Christ. Step number one, the Bible tells us that the gospel message must be heard. How can anybody save if the gospel message isn't heard? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Yes, so the gospel message must be heard. Step number two, the preacher must preach the gospel message. Yeah. So when the gospel, for it to be heard, it can't be heard on its own. We have to preach the gospel message. And the preacher must preach it wherever he goes. And the third step is this. The gospel message through the preacher must be sent. So the gospel message must be heard, the preacher must preach the gospel message, and the gospel message through the preacher must be sent. That's why we have mission conferences. That's why we give to missions. That's why we pray for the missionaries. That's why we send them forth. That's why we go on mission trips. That's why Tabitha went to Oaxaca last year with us, and by God's grace, she's going to go back with us in July. I just letting her dad know today. Because you know she wants to go. I got 16 going to Oaxaca, Mexico in July 20th for the 26th, through the 26th, and we're going to do medical missions, and we're going to help the churches that we have planted over the last 5 years, 125 of them, and we're going to go to a brand new area, and we're going to work with kids in Vacation Bible School, and we're going to preach the clarity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we do, God says, we have beautiful feet.
Amen, brother.
Beautiful feet. When you go, you have beautiful feet. When you pray, you have beautiful feet. When you finance the preaching of the gospel, you have beautiful feet. And that's what the church is all about. I heard someone say a couple of weeks ago, I was here in Missouri 2 weeks ago, and came back here this weekend, but I was here 2 weeks ago, and I was talking to somebody, and he says, "You know what the point of the church is, and the responsibility of the church, and the mandate and the commission of the church. Do you know what it is?" And I said, "Well, yeah, you know, it's the Great Commission." He said, "Yeah." He said, "I heard someone say there are two parts to the church fulfilling what Christ has commanded them to fulfill." Number one is to fulfill the Great Commission, and number two, to get over all the distractions from keeping us of fulfilling the Great Commission. We're to fulfill the Great Commission. We're to disciple nations. We're to preach the gospel, baptize the converts, teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you all the way to the end of the world, this age. And then our responsibility is to get over all the distractions from accomplishing that task.
Yes, sir.
And there are so many distractions. So many distractions. But when we take the gospel and we preach it and it's heard and we finance God's work so the preacher can go, the result is beautiful feet. Beautiful feet. The Bible tells us we had beautiful feet when we went to Oaxaca, Mexico for the very first time 13 years ago. Knocked on a door of a lady that didn't even know us. We stayed there for a few days, led a few to Christ, baptized a few, found a Baptist pastor in town to come and hold a Bible study with him, found another pastor to establish a church with him, and from that, 124 other churches have started in the last 5 years. And when we went, we had, God said, beautiful feet. We had beautiful feet. When I went to Kakata, Liberia a year ago this past January, we had started a church 6 months before. And I went there to preach on a Sunday morning about a year and a half ago now, almost a year and a half ago. And when we went, 120 people were there after 6 months. And 20 got saved that Sunday morning when the Word of God was preached and the clarity of the gospel. And when we went to Kakata, Liberia, God said, His Word says, we had beautiful feet. We had beautiful feet when we went to Uganda. And over the last 2 years, 30 new churches have begun. We had beautiful feet when we went to Monterrey, Mexico a few years ago, and we drove from Monterrey, Mexico over a 7-day period all the way down through the country, through Mexico City, to the mountains of Zaragoza in Oaxaca, the state of Oaxaca. And we took 7 days to get there, and we drove all day, every day. We preached every evening, and we'd go to the next place, and we did that over a 7-day period. And God said, you had beautiful feet. The Bible says we had beautiful feet. when we started and supported over the last 5 years, 320 churches in Africa, Asia, and Latin America. And God says, you have beautiful feet. He says, you have beautiful feet. When we went to Africa and Asia and Latin America, when we crossed the St. John's River, when we crossed that bridge going into Corny School Village in Liberia, Africa, we crossed it to get to the village where a church has been started, and now a Christian school that I'm going to show you in just a few moments. And I want you to know, when we crossed that bridge and we got over there, we had beautiful feet. Beautiful feet. And whatever you do for Christ, as it pertains to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the clarity of the gospel, he says, you also have beautiful feet. What you do as a church gives you beautiful feet, spiritually speaking. Last month, I went to Liberia, Africa for my fifth trip. The Philippines probably was the most fun trip that I took. It's a long way, but it was fun. The hardest trip was when I went to India 3 years ago. Oh, it was painstakingly hard. I mean, it was tough. We left Indianapolis on Saturday, flew to Atlanta, preached on Sunday morning, got on a plane Sunday afternoon with three others, and flew all the way to New Delhi, India. And at 3 a.m. on Tuesday, we got in bed for the first time. And 4 hours later, we got up to start a two-day journey to go to Kota, India, to preach 12 times over a weekend. It was crazy. It was the hardest trip. But last month in Liberia, it was a tough trip. Of the five, it was the toughest trip. But it was the most productive, and it was the most fruitful trip that we had. Let me share it with you just a little bit. Here is Liberia, Africa. We fly into Monrovia and we drive down to Buchanan, and then we went up to Bonga and then over to Gonta. And we told our leaders there, we said we want to go into the southeast area, and we want to open this area up for the gospel of Christ. I mean, we've been in Monrovia and Buchanan and Kakata and Banga and Gonta. We've been over the north side and some of the south area, southwest area. But we wanted to bring the gospel down here and open that up for not the first time, but there's not a lot of activity going on down there for the Lord. And so we just told our leaders, we said, this is where we want to go. We just tell them, we sent them an email, we said, this is what we want to do, and they put it together and we just do it. I don't ask a lot of questions. I just tell them this is what we want to do. And so we went to Monrovia, and we were there for the first weekend, and we preached in the churches, and we saw some of the church planters that we had supported, and we went down to Buchanan later that day, and we worked for 5 days. We taught theology, about 35 hours of theology to the church planters, about 60, 70 men. There's a orphanage that I work in for the last 3 years, and we bought them living room furniture, and we bought them mattresses last year, and we bought the boys a TV, and I told myself, I want to have a chapel service with these kids, about 40, 50 kids. I said, I want a chapel service with them. And so I taught them in chapel, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. It's the only time I can dance in church. They were the most fun kids I've ever been with. I mean, they were amazing. This little boy right here, he has a smile that's so infectious, but he can't talk. He doesn't say a word. I don't know what happened to him. There are two other young men in this place that is 18 and 20. Right here is Destiny. He's 20 years old, and his brother is Winston is 18 years old. His father he and his brother, when they were 4 and 2, in this Baptist orphanage. He had three other siblings that were older that have graduated from here, from the orphanage. The father was a teacher in Buchanan and went blind and couldn't teach any longer. His wife left him and the five children. He couldn't raise them by himself, and so he put them in the orphanage, and this orphanage has raised these children. Next year, we're going to send Destiny to college and pay his full tuition. There are nine other children, young people, in this orphanage. They go to school through ninth grade, and then after ninth grade, they got to find a private school in town, but they need a sponsor. And we're going to send next year, in September, all 10, one to college, nine to high school, 10 students, and we're going to take care of their entire tuition. Now, before you get too excited about that and think, man, I got all kinds of bucks, it's $1,800 per semester for 10 kids to go to private school and to college in Liberia. I put it on Facebook, and in 1 week, I raised $3,600 to pay for the entire year. That was amazing. That was amazing. And they help with the children. They run the chapel services. They're leaders in this orphanage. The next picture shows you the living room furniture that we bought. And I mean, the kids, I mean, the girls, they were so excited. And then the next picture, we went from Monrovia down to Buchanan, where this is going on, and the theology teaching and the orphanage and meeting with the church planners. And and then we also paid for their batteries, the solar batteries, to be delivered and installed because they haven't had refrigeration for 2 years. Can you imagine going without refrigeration for 2 years? So we took that care of that for them. And then we drove 3 hours up to a place called Bonga. And while we were there, we went to that corny school village where you cross the bridge, the bamboo bridge. And we got over there, and in January of this year, we started a Christian school through the church that we had planted a year and a half before, and we're funding the entire thing this year, $48,000, going to build them a building this summer, all the guts, all the book bags, all the clothing, all the uniforms, all the desks, all the chalkboards, everything to go in it, all the administrative fees, all the salaries for the seven teachers. And we went here and we met with them on a Saturday. There are 366 children in this Christian school from four villages. And over 500 students and parents on Saturday, they had to walk, showed up for a two-hour service just to say thank you. I taught him again. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. I don't know that we have it, but if... Oh, we do.
Sing it with me. Okay, boy, you pull my neck.
If you don't, listen. If you don't know it, listen.
Okay, you'll make your boy a little boy if you may
leave. And then we'll sing it again. And we'll sing it again. Until you finally learn it. It goes like this. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree, for the Lord he wanted to see. And when the Savior passed that way, he looked up in that tree, and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm going to your house today. I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today.
The only time anybody's ever clapped for me when I've sung. She was the matriarch of the village. I danced with the matriarch of the village. Oh, over 500 showed up just to say thank you. From there, we went to Repentance Baptist Church. And we gave away 11 motorcycles to 11 church planters. Oh, they were happy. $1,000 apiece. The only time I get on a motorcycle is someone else is driving it. Every time I get on it, I fall off. Here are the school children again. And then at 12:30 a.m. on Sunday morning, we left Bonga to take a 14-hour trip to the southeast to preach the clarity of the gospel, to open up the southeast of Liberia for the gospel of Christ. These are some of the church planters in Buchanan. And down there in the southeast area, our leader said, you know, this is a forgotten area of Liberia for the gospel. Well, he didn't tell me why, but I found out why very quickly. There's no road that leads to the southeast. It was a mud road. We got stuck three times. Once going and twice coming back 24 hours later. It took us 14, 15 hours to get there. 24 hours later, we turned around and we drove all the way back to Monrovia because there's only one COVID testing place in the entire country, and we had to get a test at 9 o'clock on Tuesday so we could leave the country on Friday and come home. On the way to the southeast to a place called Grand Jeda. There are only four Baptist churches there in the area. It took us 10 hours from 12:30 Sunday morning. We pulled in at 3 in the afternoon. 10 hours on that muddy road. At 5 a.m., we got stuck. Our Jeep got stuck. It wasn't moving. It wasn't going anywhere. It was 5 a.m. It was dark. There was just bush on both sides. I got out of that vehicle. I looked around. It was dark and muddy and musty and just bush on both sides. And I thought to myself, Lord, have mercy. I'm never getting home. This is it. And about 30 minutes later, all of a sudden, the light started coming up, the sun started coming up, and I looked around, and all these other vehicles are stuck also, and all these Liberians, they're laying in the mud sleeping. And I'm thinking, this is the craziest thing I ever saw in my life. Now, I don't know what color angels are. And I'm not even sure in my theological expertise for the Faust that angels even have a ministry in this age of grace. I'm not even sure they do. That's just my opinion. But at 5:30 a.m., an ambulance pulled up with its lights on. Now, I don't know what color angels are, and I don't know if they have a ministry today or not, but two black angels got out of that ambulance, threw us a 20-foot chain, told us to hook it up to our Jeep. We hooked it up. They pulled us out. We gave them a couple of Liberian dollars, and we kept on going to Grand Jeda. I don't know what color angels are, but that day, there were two black angels that got out of that ambulance and saved our lives.
Amen.
And we got down there, and 24 hours later, we didn't plan it real well. We had to leave and then take another 16-hour trip up that old road. We got stuck twice. Our guy got out about 2 o'clock in the morning, got his machete out. He cut a road on one side. He cut a road on the other side. We went around two trucks. We sideswiped one of them, and we just kept on moving. In Liberia, you don't exchange insurance information. He just kept on moving. Oh, he did stop and say, I gotta go back and get my jack. He went back, got his jack, he'd loaned somebody, put it in the car, and he just kept on moving. About 3 in the morning, I mean, we're just bouncing up and down, and about 3 in the morning, all of a sudden, we get in this little town, he pulls backwards, and all of a sudden, the generator comes on, and the lights come on, and at 3 in the morning, somebody comes out, and there's a Starbucks coffee bar, and they make us coffee. in Liberia. I'm just kidding. There was no Starbucks. But there was a coffee bar. You can't believe everything I say.
That's why I asked.
Man, at 3 o'clock in the morning, it was good. Because we didn't have any food. Nobody planned. We ate at 2. We left at 4:30. This was 3 in the morning. And the only thing that I brought was I had one box of M&M's left, and I had a granola bar, and no one else had anything else, and I had to break it in fourths at 10, and that was our dinner, a granola bar about this big, and then we all had about 2 in the morning, we all had a handful of M&M's, and that was it until 11 a.m. that next morning after our COVID test.
Very nutritious.
Nobody planned but me, and I had to share it because that's just the kind of guy I am. I said, I can't eat this. Those other three guys not have anything. I didn't want to share it. I planned. Why should I share? Amen? Don't say amen. I shared. Oh, and they were happy. And we got back to Monrovia. But when we went, and all that we went through, my chiropractor said when I got back the next week, your head is no longer connected to your shoulders. But God said, you've got beautiful feet. And because we went, here are the men that graduated from the class of theology, and 15 of these will plant a church in 2022. And when they do, they will have beautiful feet. By God's grace, in 2022, we're going to start 200 new churches. You say, why are you here? Because I need your help. I want you to have beautiful feet also. I need your help. I've got to raise $60,000, additional $60,000, on top of what we have coming in already, to start 200 churches in 2022. We're going to open up 8 new countries in Africa. We're going to open up Vietnam. We're going back to India. We're going to a restricted country in Africa. I'm not going. Someone else is going. But we've got men there that want to start churches and need to be supported. Over the last 5 years, 320 churches have been started and supported by Advance. 100 this year, 100 last year. But next year, by faith, we want to start 200 new churches all around the world in some of the most remote areas of the world. And when we do, God's going to say, you have what?
Beautiful.
What? What? Beautiful feet. Let me ask you a question. Do you want beautiful feet? Are you praying? Are you giving? Are you going? What are you doing for missions? I've got good news for you. All of us can have beautiful feet when we make sure the gospel is heard around the world. We can all have beautiful feet when we go and preach the good news of the gospel of Christ. We can have beautiful feet when we give and send and support others to go and preach the clarity of the gospel. And may I just end with this? We need to rethink missions if we're going to have the beautiful feet that Christ wants us to have. We've got to rethink missions. You know, this past year, COVID, it's been crazy. I know you all haven't shut down, but everybody else has. It's been crazy. Just been crazy. We've heard a lot about this last year from liberals, the Democrats. We've got to reimagine policing. Well, let me say this. We need to reimagine missions. I believe that. I don't believe that we need to reimagine policing. I think we need more policing. But we need to reimagine missions. Because I don't believe we are fulfilling the Great Commission as we ought. Oh, a lot of people are doing a lot of good things and a lot of great missionaries, and they're wonderful, and I have friends, and we've supported missionaries, and we will continue to support missionaries, and we need to send missionaries, and I bow to missionaries. Anybody that will take their family and go to some faraway place, I bow to them. And God says, you have beautiful feet when you do. But the truth is, we are not evangelizing our world. We're just not. In Myanmar, we've started 10 churches. It's 89% Buddhist. With all the gospel in Myanmar, it's still 89% Buddhist. In most countries, it's still 1% Christian, 2% Christian, 5% Christian. We've done a lot of mission work, and I thank God for that, but we've not accomplished world evangelism over the last 2,000 years. I believe we need to reimagine missions. I believe there are four legs to the stool called missions. There's one leg, which is the American pastor and the American church. The second leg of the stool is the American missionary. The third are projects, and projects are wonderful and helpful. But the fourth leg to the stool of missions, if we're going to fulfill, truly fulfill the Great Commission and have the beautiful feet that Christ wants us to have, we've got to get the national more involved. And that's why Advance, my ministry, supports nationals for 1 year financially to help them get started. A church, a local Baptist church in some area of the world. Because without the national, we will not fulfill the Great Commission. I believe the national is of utmost importance. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, remain here in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to empower you. And you're going to be witnesses. You're going to be my martyrs. That's what that means. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. I want you to know that when we went to Grand Jita, we went to the uttermost parts of the earth. When I went to the Philippines, we flew to the island of Coron. And I want you to know, we went to some of the most beautiful places I've ever seen in the world. But we went to the uttermost parts of the earth. When we went to India, we went to the uttermost parts of the earth. When I came to Long Run, Missouri, I came to the uttermost part of the earth. It's a long way here. It's a long way out here. And I appreciate the invitation. When we do what God tells us to do in taking the clarity of the gospel to the world and funding missions, I want you to know, He says, we have beautiful feet. Our Father, we thank You for this opportunity to be here in this place once again. I thank You for Your goodness and Your love. I thank You for these fine people, and Lord, whatever they're doing for missions, I pray that they will up their game, do more than they've ever done. And I pray, Lord, that they will help us to raise that 60,000 to start 200 new churches next year. Lord, by faith, we believe in Jesus' name. And all the people said,
Amen.
Amen.